Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Managing Director, Charts and Data Operations at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
How's it going, Katie?
Great. How about you?
I am swell.
Nice.
I am great. Today is the announcement of the Tony Award
nominations. That's true. Is that why you're doing a little show tune here?
Sure. Friend of the podcast, Jonathan Groff, was nominated for Best Actor in a Musical.
We love him.
For Merrily We Roll Along, alongside his two co-stars, including Daniel Radcliffe.
Amazing.
Anyway.
I mean, friend of the podcast, Alicia Keys, apparently her Hell's Kitchen musical did quite well as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. I believe Suffs, the musical that Hillary Clinton, I think, is producing, is nominated.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Hillary, if you'd like to be a friend of the pod, feel free to give us a call. She's a Grammy Award winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I've just taken the show completely off the rails. All right. As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on Taylor Swift. That's it. Just Taylor Swift. Well, okay. We'll be talking all about her massive debut at number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with the Tortured Poets Department, and how she takes over the Billboard Hot 100 as all 31 songs from the deluxe edition of the album debut on the chart. Including the entire top 14, led by Fortnite, featuring Post Malone at number one.
Also on the show, more Taylor.
Hey!
We're talking about just how unprecedented some of these numbers are from Taylor Swift's release week. And, you know, looking back at every million-selling week since 2010 and kind of wondering, can anyone besides Taylor put up numbers like this ever again? I guess, you know, Keith and I will talk that out. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Okay, let's do the chart chat. First up, as expected, Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department makes a gigantic debut at number one on the Billboard 200, securing the superstar her 14th chart-topping album.
Do you think it makes her sad that she doesn't have 13 anymore, her lucky number?
I thought about that.
And then the top 14 also on the Hot 100. Wow, a lot of 14s now.
It's like maybe that could be your new favorite number, Taylor.
That's my lucky number, so you can have it if you'd like, Taylor.
14 is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a random fact. Sure. There you go.
There you go.
Is this Tiger Beat? My favorite number is 14. My favorite color is navy blue.
Navy, go ahead. Specifically navy blue.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Taylor ties Jay-Z for the most number ones among soloists in the nearly 70-year history of the Billboard 200. Only the Beatles, with 19 number ones, have more. And at the rate that Taylor releases albums, she could meet them at the end of the year.
A couple years, probably.
The Tortured Poets Department launches with 2.61 million equivalent album units earned in the U.S. in the week ending April 25th. With traditional album sales, which means purchases of digital download albums, CDs, vinyl LPs, and cassettes, comprising 1.914 million of that sum.
So close to that 2 million mark.
I mean, she's like a good 80-something thousand away.
Yeah, it just feels close.
It feels close when you're looking at numbers that big. By the way, all these numbers are according to Luminate, of course. Of that sales figure, vinyl sales represent a staggering 859,000 copies. The collected 31 songs on the deluxe edition of the album, well, they generated $891.34 million on-demand official streams.
So these real numbers.
Let's break them down just for a second. Funny, that was one of Taylor's reactions on Twitter. I think she was kind of like, is this real?
How?
What is this? How? No. Her reaction on Twitter to my Billboard 200 story was, I think, just simply, what does this mean? Or what does it mean? All right. So all those eye-popping figures mark the following. The largest streaming week for an album ever. The second largest week for an album by total equivalent album units earned since the Billboard 200 began measuring by units in December of 2014. The only bigger week was the debut week of Adele's 25. It is the third largest sales week by straight traditional pure album sales in the modern era, which means since Luminate, formerly SoundScan, began tracking sales in 1991, the only bigger weeks were registered by the debuts of NSYNC's No Strings Attached and Adele's 25. And she has the largest sales week for an album on vinyl in the modern era. So as I'll pause there, do you have any questions or concerns?
No, I'm okay. I'm mostly just wow.
Yeah.
That's my, I'd like to log the answer of
how
wow.
How many copies did you buy?
I streamed, Keith.
There you
so
go.
So zero, you, I guess, to answer your question.
You helped her units and you helped her stream.
I sure did.
So Swift announced the album during the Grammy Awards on February 4th, and her official web store began accepting pre-orders for the project that same night. The set was released on April 19th alongside its first single and video, Fortnite, featuring Post Malone, which we talked about a little bit last week.
Yes.
The Tortured Poets Department was initially released at midnight Eastern on April 19th as a standard 16-song digital download album, as well as an array of 17-song physical configurations, CDs, vinyls, cassettes, etc. 2 hours after the album's release, Swift announced an expanded 31-song edition of the set, and released it as a digital download and streaming album, and she coined this album as The Tortured Poets Department, The
Anthology.
The Anthology. And in case anyone was wondering, we treat that as if it was like a standard album and a deluxe album. The deluxe, in our minds, still has the same title as the album, The Tortured Poets Department. They just added some extra wording to identify that it was a deluxe. This happens all the time, but most people aren't paying attention to music as much as they do when Taylor Swift drops an album.
Or a lot of times
it comes like a week or
exactly
years later.
Weeks, months, years pass before the deluxe edition is released.
So this was
released.
A little unusual.
Yeah.
Sales of the album were bolstered by its availability across 19 physical configurations, and that's 9 CDs, 6 vinyl LPs, and 4 cassettes, and the standard and deluxe digital download albums. So, we move on over to the Billboard Hot 100. All 31 songs from the deluxe edition of the album debut on the chart, including the entire top 14, with Fortnite featuring Post Malone debuting at number one. She's also on the chart with Cruel Summer from Lover. That's still on the chart. So Taylor has a total of 32 songs on the chart.
Is Cruel Summer in the top 14 or is it someplace else?
It's someplace else.
Okay.
Swift was already the only artist to have the entire top 10 at the same time, and she did it again. She first did it the week that Midnights came out. And with Fortnite at number one, she ties Madonna, and the Supremes, who each have 12 number ones, and only 5 acts have more number ones on the Hot 100. They are Michael Jackson and Drake, each with 13, Rihanna with 14, Mariah Carey with 19, and the Beatles with 20.
Oh, wow. So wait, to recap, the Beatles have the most number ones on the Hot 100 with 20, and they have the most number ones on the Billboard 200 with 19, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I just want to...
Also, fun fact, guess who's number 15 on the Hot 100 this week?
Who, Keith?
Oh, you know. You, without even looking, you know who it is.
I do?
You do. Who have we talked about in recent weeks where they've been sort of blocked from number one?
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's Benson Boone. It's obviously Benson Boone.
Benson Boone's Beautiful Thing. So I thought it was interesting. This is the third time that some weird circumstance has blocked Benson from number one. So Benson hit number two behind Teddy Swims, his label mate, when Teddy Swims got to number one with what's the name of Teddy's song?
Lose Control.
Thank you. Then the week that Future and Metro put out their first album, they debuted at numbers 1 and 2, and Benson was number 3.
Right.
Then this week, Taylor drops her album. She has the top 14, and he's number 15.
Well, and as we know, last week, Hozier was number 1. So Hozier and Teddy Swims, they got their turns. Benson is still waiting in the wings, and he
waiting
probably
patiently.
Will be for a minute.
I don't see how all 14 of these songs are going to stick around this
they
high
won't,
next week.
But
I mean, Fortnite will.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's going to be number 1 again, but it's certainly going to be high.
Well, and I will say, like, Fortnite really hit a sweet spot because obviously, in addition to, you know, being the focus track, single, et cetera, off of this massive project, it also was immediately serviced to not only pop radio, but adult pop radio, which I've talked about this on the show before. I listened to Coast with my children here in LA.
Is Coast adult pop or is it just AC?
Yeah, it's AC.
Okay.
And I heard Fortnite there, like release week, which AC does not typically pick up a song in its debut week. Other than, like, Miley Cyrus's Flowers. I remember that being...
Do they play, like, every hour on the hour sort of thing?
I mean, I don't know about that. I just know I've heard it. And so I'm just saying that, like, it, you know, the whole machine is still behind Fortnite. I don't see it evacuating the number one spot next week, but, you know, we'll see.
The reason I asked about hourly plays because sometimes major releases like this will get... they'll be part of a... program that iHeart might do,
sure,
where certain formats of radio will play the song hourly, you know, for the day.
I'm sure Kiss does.
So I thought, oh, maybe they threw in AC stations because like AC Adult Top 40 and Top 40 stations because this song makes sense for those formats. Also, Fortnite's a little bit sleepy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The thing I thought was interesting when I'm looking at the Hot 100, you know, typically when you look at the songs that do the best from a highly streamed album, oftentimes you can kind of just like look at the track order on the album and it kind of mirrors itself on the Hot 100.
That's not the case with this one though, right?
Wasn't totally the case. I mean, most of the songs kind of fall in line.
Well, I noticed that my favorite, which was not early in the album order, is, I think, number 3.
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Yes, that's my...
which is like track 14 or something.
And so I was like, oh, I'm not alone in that being a favorite.
Well, I asked Gary about it, and he suggested that because it actually is kind of one of the few up-tempo numbers on the album, that's probably why it's kind of elevated itself.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Kevin about it as well, and he said it's kind of raised its hand on TikTok as well.
Uh-huh.
So clearly that song is kind of being favored for multiple reasons.
It's also, it's one of those songs, which I love this kind of song, where it's, it does have a beat, and it's way up-tempo compared to other music on this album, but it also is like about her experiencing depression. And so the lyrics kind of take an extra listen as well, because it is actually very sad. And like, I mean, the title is sad. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. She's basically like not bragging, but like boasting that, like, you know, all the stuff we've seen her do like over this past year and a half, whatever, like with the tour and all of that, and the, you know, now 2 new albums and 2 re-records and all of that over, you know, a short span of time. She's been doing it while she's been going through heartbreak twice, at least, that we know of publicly. And so and it sounds like the heartbreak transitioned into a little bit full blown depression. And she was still getting out on stage every night and doing her show, her insane show, her 3 hour plus show. So that's why it struck me, that song. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised, I guess, that it's at number 3, although I was a little surprised for the fact that it's not track 14
on
the album.
Can't wait for the Eras tour documentary film.
Oh, speaking of, we had a side conversation about this. We have an article on Billboard.com that talks about how Taylor might incorporate the Tortured Poets Department into her Eras tour set list when the tour returns next month.
May 9th, I believe.
Yes, in Paris. Yeah. Yep. So check that out.
Any hints that you can give us? I was looking at the set list because Katie and I have seen the show twice. And I was looking at it thinking she could eat it short of making the show longer, which is kind of, I think, off the table. I think she could probably trim off like a song or two from certain sets, like in the beginning, and kind of take out a couple songs from the Folklore Evermore section and maybe drop off a song or two from the Midnight section, because the reason why she was, I think she was heavy in Folklore, Evermore, and Midnights, simply because
she hadn't toured them.
She hadn't toured them.
Or there, Lover.
Or Lover. That's why Lover
was starts the show.
Lover starts the show. Folklore, Evermore, and Midnights essentially end the show. And those have the most songs.
She's going to have to trim those back. That's exactly what she's going to have to do. She's going to have to trim Folklore and Evermore. Sorry to the European fans. You can watch it on Disney Plus.
I doubt there's anything on this album that will close the show, though. I think Karma is still probably the big
thing. That is interesting. I think that is the thing that I will be most interested in, is how the Midnight segment and the ending of the show is impacted.
Like up. It's like you end with Antihero and Karma, and like you end with these, like, you know, uplifting.
Or what
songs.
If she tipped it on its head and she scooted Midnights and Torture Poets to the beginning and put Lover at the end, now that Cruel Summer is like one of her biggest hits?
Oh, maybe you end the show with Cruel
Summer. Right, because she's been starting it, which honestly helped propel it to number
one. And it'll be Summertime when she's touring
the album.
Exactly.
So, like, that would be a great ending number. Although, it's so funny having—
The show is so technological, I doubt they're going to do that much.
Yeah.
Like, so much is, like, programmed.
Well, but it is an interesting double-edged sword how the movie is out there, because, you know, you do rob the European fans of a bit of surprise, but maybe they'll get—
Maybe you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there will be lots of surprises. Well, I also wanted to talk about just, like, you know, these numbers being so insane that you've just rattled off, because you sent me a list yesterday of every million selling week since 2010, right?
Yeah.
There are now 11 in total, including the Tortured Poets Department, and Taylor has 7 of those 11. She did a million selling week with Speak Now, with Red, with 1989, and I'm referring to the original versions when I say all of those, by the way, with Reputation, with Midnights, with 1989, Taylor's version, and finally now this month with Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah, the last 4 million selling weeks by traditional album sales have all been Taylor.
Yeah. And yes, they have.
From 2017 onwards.
And just in case you're curious, the ones that are not Taylor are 2 weeks of Adele's 25 and 1 week of Lady Gaga's Born This Way.
So 3 weeks of 25.
Oh, 3 weeks. I'm sorry.
And then
sorry, Adele.
Born This Way's debut week from Lady Gaga.
So, wow.
So what's the question?
The question is, like, obviously we are in the streaming era, right? And Taylor is selling so much music, selling digital, selling physical. She's obviously an anomaly. Is she, like, the last remaining figurehead of this, like, bygone era? Or is there, like, a world where somebody else ever does what she's doing right now? You know what I mean? Like, is it because she sort of straddles? Like, she was young enough when she came out that she still has a young audience that adapted to streaming quickly, but is still sort of nostalgic for a day when you would, like, stand in line at the record store and buy an album or something. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, what is this, and can it ever happen again, basically?
People asked the same question of me in 2015 before 25 came out.
Mm.
You know, like, can she do it? I'm like, well, if anyone can do it, it could be Adele.
Right.
Adele couldn't do it with 30, though.
She couldn't do it with 30. She did not get to that million mark on 30.
Now, maybe had Adele really leaned into, you know, physical formats the way Taylor has, then maybe the story would have been different. Because when 30 came out and when 25 came out, 25, I think, at the time was only on, like, CD, vinyl, digital, maybe.
Yeah.
And then when 30 came out, I think it had, I want to say there were, at the most, like, 3 vinyl variants.
Right.
I think she had, like, an Amazon exclusive, maybe a Target exclusive.
And I think
then there was a standard black, and then she had a CD. I think she had a kind of a limited availability, like, box set with a T-shirt inside, which wasn't, like, a huge thing. And then
she wasn't leaning
album.
Into no. it the way Taylor
does. Has 19 different physical formats.
Yeah.
And as we said, like, nearly 900,000 of that was in vinyl. So in vinyl, she had 4 kind of she had 4 basic standard versions of the vinyl album that were all available widely, different colors. Target had an exclusive vinyl, which was a different color. And then she sold a signed vinyl on her web store. So, yeah, I think Taylor can do this because she really leans into physical and the idea of super fandom and offering lots of fun things for people to collect and enjoy and experience and touch and feel and play. I wonder if Taylor just said, all right, I'm just going to do 1 standard vinyl, 1 CD, 1 digital, and be done with it.
What it would look like?
What would that number look like? I don't think it would be this number.
No, but it would still probably it might still clear a million.
Maybe.
Maybe not. You know, maybe. Almost two.
I think some people are just like, I don't want to take that chance. So you maximize right. your opportunities.
And that's definitely Taylor's vibe.
Yeah.
Like she understands the
you're a business.
Yeah, she is a literal business.
So can anyone else do it?
Right.
Most likely, probably not.
Like the thing is, of course, if
anything can happen,
if
though.
We rewind back to 2010, before when did Spotify start?
Spotify and Apple both started in the. I've had it in my story. In fact, hold on. I wrote about it. In my Sunday story.
Oh, it started in 2006. But I mean, not that it was as popular as it has become in 2006 when the company was founded.
One second. Let me just hold on. So I said that popular streaming services, Spotify and Apple Music, as examples, did not launch in the U.S. until 2011 and 2015.
There you go.
So Spotify started outside of America before that.
Right.
So, yeah, streaming didn't really take hold until then. And then even Taylor didn't embrace streaming at
and
the beginning.
And so, obviously, in the year 2010, we did not know, Billboard, I should say, not me and Keith, Billboard did not know what the future held for the way people were going to consume music,
we
right?
didn't include streaming in the Billboard 200 until the end of 2014.
Correct. So what is some future way that people will consume music that will be the most popular
Whoever
way?
Whoever thought vinyl would come back.
Who thought vinyl would come back?
Taylor sold thousands and thousands of this album on cassette tape.
So there's a lot of factors at play.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like the answer is yes, that no one will do this thing, like she's done.
Yeah.
But we don't know if the algorithms, formulas for the Billboard charts will change in 10, 15 years because people are, you know, getting music delivered directly to their brain or whatever
sure.
the case
Or, you
is.
Know, will that album come enhanced with some extra doodad that makes it really sexy? Is it going to be some sort of, like, virtual experience that takes you through, like, your Apple goggles and you experience music and Taylor plays it for you on a record player? I don't know.
But I think it really does speak to this idea of her almost just straddling two generations. Like, I mean, I would consider I'm older than Taylor. I'm 10 years older than Taylor. But I feel like she had a piece of, like, how I grew up. She had a taste of it. It's like she loves NSYNC because she was a child when NSYNC came out. Kind of like, for me, New Kids on the Block, I was, like, a kid. I like, experienced it, but not, like, the full-blown, like, teenage pandemonium like I did with NSYNC. So she experienced, like, little pieces of, you know, the end of the 90s, beginning of the 2000s, and probably brought some of that sentiment with her to, her, like, who she is as an artist. And she always seemed to know that she wanted to be a musician and artist, so she was probably, like, hyper-paying attention for a child, you know, to what... like how people operated and moved. And so she has that in her DNA while also being young enough to, you know, adapt to and embrace all of the things that are now at her disposal. So it's like she has all of it. She has the best of every world, and her fans also span those generations and want to, or, you know, maybe are nostalgic for something they never had or see, you know, like what they could have had as a music fan 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, she's the, once again, Taylor's a unicorn.
Yeah.
but she's also, she's a representation of kind of that particular demographic amplified. Those folks that did not get to experience vinyl
yep.
or cassettes. They did experience CDs, but they were kids.
Yeah.
And they immediately got pushed into the digital era, essentially, because most of Taylor's heyday was in the digital download era. Though she sold a ton of CDs back in the day, that was at the tail end, like, of CDs.
The Taylor end.
CDs sales were at their zenith in the modern era in the year 2000.
Yep.
And since then, they've been going down.
Yep.
Digital downloads in the iTunes store didn't start until, what, 2003, 2004? Taylor came on the scene when?
Self-titled was 2005?
Okay, six?
Six?
I think it was six.
2006.
So she was already in the digital era. So already, CDs were becoming yep. kind of passe.
Yeah. Yep.
She didn't lean into vinyl really until, like, basically COVID.
Yeah.
Like Folklore, Evermore, on all those albums.
So, which really lent themselves to vinyl.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just been this perfect sort of collusion of all these things. And also, Taylor is the biggest star that we have right now.
Right.
So when you're firing on all cylinders,
yep,
and you're
and
Taylor
she sure
Swift,
is.
It's kind of like saying, will anyone ever be able to sell as many seats in stadiums as Taylor Swift? It's like, probably not.
But people,
but who knows?
Maybe even 10 years ago, maybe wouldn't have been able to see this for Taylor Swift.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway. So. Yeah.
The answer is Taylor is a unicorn, just like Keith said.
Adele is a unicorn. Taylor's a unicorn. Michael Jackson was a unicorn.
Yes. Thank you for joining our Taylor TED Talk today.
Well, you know, I think everyone can learn things from these superstars that we mentioned, but you won't be able to replicate what they do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What else?
It's time for our chart stat of the week.
It's time for the chart stat of the week. All right. Well, with Fortnite at number one on the Hot 100, it got me thinking about night and day songs on the Hot 100.
Okay.
So, Katie, and it's a quiz, Katie, which of these night or day songs, meaning songs with either of those words somewhere in their title, that could even be part of another word, did not hit number one on the Hot 100? So you have five choices. Your choices are Glen Campbell's Southern Nights, Mariah Carey's Someday, The Rolling Stones' Ruby Tuesday, The Tokens' The Lion Sleeps Tonight, or Wang Chung's Everybody Have Fun Tonight. Which of those night or day songs did not hit number one on the Hot 100?
I sure don't know the answer, so this is my guess.
Oh, wow, okay.
My first guess is The Rolling Stones' Ruby Tuesday.
Hit number one.
Mariah Carey's Someday.
Hit number one.
Man, I'm going to go through everything. Wang Chung, Everybody Have Fun Tonight.
That hit number two.
Oh, wow, really? Yeah. Such a big hit.
It was a huge hit.
I mean, number two hits are also big hits.
Yeah, that's
Benson Boone.
Hey, Benson still has a shot. So there you have it, a little chart set of the week about night and day songs at number one on the Hot 100. We've reached the end of our big show. Any parting words, Katie? Actually, question.
Yes.
For those people who maybe haven't listened to the Tortured Poets Department yet?
Yes.
There's been a lot of chatter about sort of the lore of Taylor and digging into the lyrics. And you talked earlier about what apparently a lot of the
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart lyrics.
Yes. And all the things that she's gone through.
Yeah.
And that seems like a lot for people to digest before they go into an album. If you don't know any of the Taylor Swift lore and legend, can you just enjoy the album?
Oh,
music?
Yes, you can.
It add an element to it when you know a little bit more about Taylor?
Yes.
Of course.
It absolutely does. I mean, it definitely enriches the songs to be listening for specific lyrics. And
I would say the same thing about Madonna's Like a Prayer album.
And it's also a very, yeah, exactly. But it's also a very, like, we've talked about this. It is a sleepier, you know, storytelling album. So, like, the most joy, I think, to glean from it is from really, like, you know, absorbing all the words and understanding the many layers that go into it. So even if you're a casual Taylor fan, you probably know enough to, like, piece things together.
Mm.
You don't, like, people read deep, 9 layers deep into these things that I'm not, 13 layers deep perhaps. But I think you can enjoy it on a 2 to 3 deep level.
So with all that said, what song should we go out on?
Oh, man. I mean, are we going out on a Taylor song or should we go out on something different? I mean, it's Dua Lipa week, by the way. We did not mention.
Well, it's Dua Lipa. Her album comes out this Friday.
It comes out Friday. We'll obviously talk about Dua, you know, in future weeks. But I am excited about that, too. Looking forward to that.
To a Dua Lipa song?
I mean, kind of.
We just randomly inserted it at the very end. So do you want to go out on Illusion, which is one of the recent tracks that she released?
I do want to go out on Illusion. Yes, please.
We'll go out on that. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.